join me in welcoming the listeners tonight?
Good morning. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My name is Millicent Arlene Smith, and my father, Richard Lincoln Smith, was Helen Faison's younger brother. One thing I want to say, first off, thank you for having me here. I was not able to attend my aunt's funeral, and I just am so grateful that you're letting me share my memories of my aunt with you. Also, and I didn't tell Mr. Harrison this, but 2 months to the day that my aunt passed away, I had a stroke. Fortunately, I was not paralyzed, but it did affect my speech. So if I start to slow down a little, it's because that part of the stroke is taking over. But I think it's early enough in the morning that I'm good to go. My aunt was born here in Pittsburgh, July 13, 1924. Her father and mother were both from Virginia, but they met here in Pittsburgh. My aunt told me that people who moved from Virginia to Pittsburgh for jobs had a social club, and that's where they met, here in Pittsburgh. They married and had three children. Helen was the oldest. Now, if I refer to my aunt as Hallie, it's because my younger cousin couldn't say Helen, so all of her four nieces and nephew, we started calling her Hallie. So if I slip to Hallie, that's because that's what we called her. Now, unfortunately, while they were in Pittsburgh and she was a young child, her mother developed tuberculosis. And in the late 20s, tuberculosis, because we didn't have the advanced medicine, that was a death sentence for her mother. So the arrangements were made that her mother would move back to Virginia to be taken care of her mother, Hallie's grandmother, move the children down to Virginia with her. And her father stayed here in Pittsburgh because he had a small business selling coal here in Pittsburgh. So the three children and their mother moved to Virginia. Now, I want you to picture Virginia now in the late 20s. Now, when I was younger, we went to visit my great-grandmother's house. And to this day, if anybody ever asks me, do you want to go camping, I say no, because I've done it before. She had a four-room house built on bricks. Electricity, but no plumbing. So outside the house, there was an area to chop wood. She had a chicken coop. She had pigs. The outhouse was way over this direction. On this side of the house, there was a half-acre garden, a smokehouse. The spring to get water was about three blocks away from the house. And the spring was not just in the movies like a nice well with a little crank and the bucket that goes down. It was a hole in the ground, which you had to kneel with your pail to dip and get the water all weather, whether it was snowing or raining. And if you ever carry two heavy buckets of water, it's not pleasant, three blocks back to the house. So that's how you get your water for bathing, for cooking, for drinking, is you had to go to the well, dip the buckets in, and carry them back to the house. So Hallie moved from living in Pittsburgh, in the city, to this rural country. It's called Lowesville, Virginia. And before this latest highway was built, we had to go through two mountains, Appalachian Mountains, to get to Grandma's house. She goes to this rural country area. The school is a one-room schoolhouse. And although it had electricity, it did not have heating. So they had a potbelly stove. And Hallie said that's what they used for heating their schoolroom. Now, the father stayed here in Pittsburgh because he had the small coal business. But he would come down periodically to visit with his children. Unfortunately, in Lowesville, when African-American children got beyond the seventh grade, it stopped. Apparently, the powers to be didn't feel that it was necessary for African-American children to be educated beyond the seventh grade. You know, what's the point? But her teacher got together with her grandmother and said, Helen is intelligent and doing well in school. She needs to continue her education. So arrangements were made that Hallie would move with the family in Amherst County, which was right next to Lowesville. And Amherst is about 6 miles from where my grandmother's house was. And she would live with this family Monday through Friday to continue her education, while her brother and sister stayed in the house with their grandmother. So she's moved from Pittsburgh to Virginia to another house. And so she continues her education. Meanwhile, back here in Pittsburgh, her father remarries. And her father decides, I'm going to bring my children back to Pittsburgh. So now Helen has to leave the grandmother, who has now become her mother, and leave her completely. And her family comes back to Pittsburgh. Hallie starts Westinghouse High School. Unfortunately, when she comes into Westinghouse High School, they think because she's coming from a country school, she doesn't know enough. They want to hold her back a grade. But her dad and her aunt, my great aunt Sue, argue with the school administration and say, no, Helen is ready to enter into the eighth grade. They win, so Hallie goes to Westinghouse. She graduates and is admitted to University of Pittsburgh, but her dad dies like a week after she graduates from high school. She can't afford the tuition at Pitt, which I read was about $10 a credit at that time. But one of the teachers that she had in Westinghouse helps her to achieve a scholarship that will pay for most of her schooling at the University of Pittsburgh. Now, Hallie told me that at that time, there were a lot of soldiers that were going to the University of Pittsburgh, because this is now in the 40s, and coal dust everywhere, you know, because the steel mills were pumping. And in order to supplement her tuition during the summer, she is hired as a housekeeper and babysitter for some families to help supplement her education tuition. Hallie graduates from University of Pittsburgh, and she applies to Pittsburgh Public Schools, but they don't hire her, so she takes a job as a caseworker for Allegheny County. It's not till 4 years later that the Pittsburgh Public School System hires her as a school teacher, English and social studies teacher, to teach at Fifth Avenue High School, which is now a condominium here in Uptown. After she's there for a couple years, Westinghouse High School takes her in as a school counselor. And then she's promoted to vice principal. And that's when I come in. Now, my background is a little similar to my aunt's. My dad had joined the Navy, and he was stationed in Key West, Florida. And that's where I was born. Unfortunately, my dad died when I was 4. So arrangements were made that my sister and I, my younger sister and I, would move here to Pittsburgh to be raised by Helen's younger sister, who already had 3 children. So there's a similarity where Hallie loses a parent and is moved away from the other, and my background is similar to that. So when I enter into Westinghouse High School, Hallie is the vice principal. And the last thing you want is a relative to either be a teacher or principal of the school. And I'll never forget, I was in one class, and because we were seated alphabetically, I was in the back, and the student said something, and I laughed easily, and teacher said, out, go to the principal's office. Fortunately, Westinghouse High School had like a junior high and a senior high in the same building, so I didn't have to go to the office that she was in because she was with the senior high. So I was like, shh. When I graduated, we moved from Homewood to Point Breeze, and Hallie wanted us to go to Alderdice to a better school. So I'll never forget when I graduated from Alderdice. That night, Hallie decided to treat the immediate family to dinner at a fancy restaurant on Mount Washington. So we're in the restaurant, long table, there's about a dozen of us. I was so upset about how much money Hallie would spend for this meal that I only ordered vanilla ice cream. Not even chocolate syrup or cherry, just vanilla ice cream. And I wanted to tell the rest of the family, don't order anything big, don't do this. I didn't want her to spend all this money on me for this occasion. When we were younger, her sister was a beautician, and Thursday nights was her late night to do hair. So Hallie would get us, after she got out of school, pick us up, go get her husband who worked for the VA hospital in Oakland, and every Thursday we would go to her house, and she would cook us dinner. And she lived in Penn Hills, right across from, it's no longer Alcoma Golf Course, but it's changed its name. But at that time, in the early 60s, Penn Hills wasn't as developed as it is now. So there were plenty of woods to, you know, discover. And in the wintertime, we would take our sleds up to that golf course and slide down the hill. And it was just a fun thing to have an aunt that we could go visit once a week and have fun and play. And Hallie was a good cook, and so she would do a lot of the holiday meals. And Hallie also loved to drive. And one of the things she told me was, after she first got her driver's license, she drove to Key West, Florida to visit her brother. And this was before the newer highway to Key West was built. And she said the road was very close to the water, and it was raining. And she said she was scared to death, because you go for miles from mainland Florida to Key West, because Key West, I believe, is the last key. And she was scared to death, but she made the trip, drove. Hallie liked to take us on just like one day car rides. And I remember going to like Ohio Powell, West Virginia, for when the fall leaves would come up. And we would see the fall leaves. And I don't know how many of you remember, but there used to be world fairs. And she drove us to New York City. I think it was 67 or there was a world fair in New York City. And she drove us to Montreal. There was a world fair, I think it was in 1970. And I remember we went through, I think they're called the Thousand Islands, in upstate New York, go that route, and then we went to Montreal, and then we came back down through New England, Maine, Vermont. We stopped in Boston, then down through New York City, stayed, and then back over. She loved to drive. When I was younger, I started working with our church. Baptist Temple Church had three services because it wanted to handle the shifts that the steel mills had, so that they would have a service for regardless of what shift you work. So there was the morning, like 6:30 in the morning, then there was a 10:45 a.m., and then there was a 7 o'clock p.m. service. So I worked with, it's called Junior Church, and it was children between the ages of like 6 to 12, and while the main service, 10:45, was going on, in the basement, we would have service with the younger children. So on Sundays, because Hallie would come back for the evening service, because Hallie was church secretary, church treasurer, I would go with her after church to her house, get my Sunday meal. I don't cook, so I would get my, you know, healthy meal for the week. And it was at that time I grew very close to her, because every week I would spend time with her and we would talk. And so the one time I was talking to her about the Bible, and she always helped me understand, you know, Bible lessons and things like that. And then I became Hallie's companion for travel, and that's why I love travel to this day. She was on the committee for the college boards, and every year they would meet in a big city in the United States for their convention. So I traveled with Hallie to New York City, Chicago, Boston, Miami, San Francisco. And while she was in meetings, I would roam the city. I'd go to museums, I'd tour the city, I'd walk through the city. And that was a lot of fun sharing that time with her. Later, when Hallie got sick and needed to move from her house to the living facility, the job I had, I don't have a car. I was able to get an express bus out to the facility and share dinner with her once a week when she first moved out there. But then I changed jobs, and because of the bus schedules and winter and things like that, I wasn't able to do it as often. But when Hallie was starting to go down this year, I remember asking God, please let me have one more time where I can spend with her one-on-one, and I want to be able to say goodbye, because she was failing. And a friend of mine, she does these marathon shopping on Saturday mornings, and one of the places she grocery shops is at the food co-op off of Braddock Avenue, which was not too far from where my aunt was staying. So I said, can I ride with you, and if you don't mind dropping me off? So she did, and I found my aunt in the one room, and she said, oh, what brought you this way? And I told her my friend Nancy had brought me. And so I went to her and I said, I just wanted you to know that I love you, I thank you for loving me, and I thank you for leading me to Jesus. And I reminded her of a conversation I had once with her this one Sunday. And I said to her, what does it mean in the Bible when it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? I said, want what? As if the sentence was not complete. And she said, want for anything. God provides for everything. And I reminded her of that conversation, and she started to cry. And I held her and kissed her and said, you know, I love you, I thank you. A couple weeks after that, she was dying because she wasn't eating. And it was her birthday. Her birthday was July 13th, and it was a Monday. And I said to myself, I'm going to leave work, get on this express bus, get out there, knowing that she was already probably laid back into bed, and she was. But I went into the room, said happy birthday to her, said prayers, and kissed her. And then that Thursday, she passed away. In 2 Timothy, Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That was my aunt. And she did it because she put on the full armor of God. She shod her feet with the gospel of his peace. She girded her loins with his truth. She put on her breastplate of salvation, her helmet. She picked up the shield of faith, and she was attacked to quench the fiery attacks of the enemy. And she picked up the sword, God's word, God's spirit. And she did not let the fact that she was African American, that she was a woman, to keep her from doing the course, living the course that God laid down for her. She stood on the front line of battle for me and every person to get a good education. And I thank her for that,
for standing strong. Thank you so much for letting me share. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
Nobody has a question.
Question? Reflect, if you will, on education today for African Americans and for people who live in the city.
One of the things, one of the things my aunt and I used to talk about a lot was that we believed education was a key to freedom. The more educated you are, the more choices you have to make. And it was important to her that education starts in home. And even if you can't afford a, you know, secondary degree, it doesn't mean that families can't encourage education. You read the paper, you discuss what's going on in the community, in the nation, with your children, you discuss what's on TV, you discuss what's going on in your neighborhood. And the problem is, I don't think a lot of families understand that education starts with communication in the family. And Hallie used to tell me, her dad was very adamant about his children getting a good education. She told me once that she brought her report card home and she got a B, and I think it was French, and her dad said, "What happened here?" And she had to tell him, "Well, you remember I was sick and I missed a couple classes." But he wasn't having any of that. You know, she was to get all A's. And unfortunately, I still don't believe that families realize that just sitting still in a classroom is important even to what's being taught. You have to learn discipline to be able to take in what's coming in, and that what you learn now is going to affect your future and what steps you take. I tell my great niece, she just started in a middle school, I said, "Your grades are going to matter now for in your future." I said, "So if you want to get a good education and get a scholarship, you're going to have to work hard now, because you can't slack off now. This is important." When I catch the bus to and from, and I pass through Oakland, and we go by the University of Pittsburgh, CMU, and especially CMU has a lot of foreign students there. And I remember someone on the bus fussing about all these foreign students there. And I said to myself, there are countries spending millions of dollars to send their children to American schools, because we do have good schools here, and they know the value of education. But our students are just thinking of college as, let's go party, let's get drunk, and that we're almost guaranteed we'll have a job, we'll do okay. But we don't seem to understand the value of getting education and how that helps you with your choices in life. Yeah, but my aunt understood that. After my aunt passed away, a woman in my church, I go to New City Church in downtown Pittsburgh, and she said, "Oh, Millicent, a friend of mine on her Facebook page had your aunt's obituary, and she said, your aunt changed her life. She was a student at Chatham, and she said, she was acting up, and she said, your aunt straightened me up, and that made me a better person." And so, yes, thank you.
Haley had a number of very important positions
yes.
in the city of Pittsburgh school districts.
Yes.
Myself as a former teacher,
I think one of the things, because of her upbringing, she was the oldest. And she was responsible for her younger brother and sister. And because she kept getting separated, she learned that I've got to keep this core and do whatever it takes to keep my family together. And so I think that translated into her being the head of departments. She's got a core group that she needs to keep control of and tighten and make sure that they can accomplish what the goal is. And my aunt could just give you a look and you knew you weren't doing what's right. She didn't have to beat you over the head. She just would give you a look and you knew, okay, I need to straighten up, you know. But I think it was her upbringing of kept getting, you know, unsettled that, okay, the core is I got to keep my family together.
Were there any historic figures or literary figures or public servants that particularly stood out in her experience that she admired or looked up to?
I never had her mention anything other than her grandmother and her faith in God. And that's how I know that that could be the only thing that would carry her from all these separations, is that God had a plan, and all she had to do was just keep her faith in God, and that would carry her through, keep her stronghold on keeping her family close. And then that kept her going, and knowing that at every instance that she'd do her best and God would lay open the pathway for her.
Did she have a particular position within the church in terms of leadership?
She was a Sunday school teacher, and it was the prize class to be in because everyone that took that class knew they were learning the Bible through her. And she was the church secretary and treasurer, and even her best friend now tells me, Millicent, since your aunt's left, you know, we're not holding through the... Yeah. She made sure that the pastor of the church did not have control over the money, where some churches have suffered from that. She knew that that separation needed to be implemented, and she knew that church members needed to be versed in what the Bible and understanding. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes. Baptist Temple Church is the church she grew up in. After she left Westinghouse, she went to be principal of Fifth Avenue High School, where she first started. Then she moved into the administration office for Pittsburgh Public Schools. She was assistant superintendent of Pittsburgh Public Schools. Then she left to get her doctorate. And then they called her back in to be the deputy superintendent of, while they were looking for a superintendent for the Pittsburgh Public School Systems. Then she left there to take, to be a part of Chatham's Teachers Institute. This is where they train students, and initiated a program there at Chatham, which they still have now. Yes. And one year she was voted the number one educator in Western Pennsylvania. And this was above the Chancellor of Pitt. And so she was very well recognized. Yeah, so one room schoolhouse in a county that didn't think it would matter that she get any further education. Yes.
Yes.
Well, Baptist Temple Church, where I grew up, the church I grew up in, they have acquired a property next to the church, and it's going to be named the Helen S. Faison Education Center. And they're going to do classroom types teaching and things like that for the community there in Homewood, Preston. Yeah, yes. Thank you. Well, I remember there was one instance. The Pittsburgh Public School Systems was looking for a new superintendent, and they had candidates, and she was on the committee to help vote for the new person. And the one gentleman filed a lawsuit because he didn't become the superintendent and named my aunt as one of them for being racially excluded. And I was like, what? Calling my aunt a racist. And so I sent a letter to the editor of the Post-Gazette, and I wanted to say, excuse me, but I'll meet you outside because I have a few things I want to, you know, talk to you about with my fists. But I wrote a letter to the editor, which was published, saying, excuse me, but let me remind you of my aunt's history. And I laid it all out. I got a call from the gentleman who was the head of the Pittsburgh teachers, and he said, we all cheered when we read your letter. My aunt said to me, Millicent, will you get in trouble at work? That's what she was concerned about. So she was very... I would say almost not passive, but she was not nonviolent. She held strong, and she didn't believe in the fighting and things like that. And she was not going to say anything against this suit, but I was ready to take him out. Yes. Well, one of the things, as I was talking to my friend Marcia this morning, one of our church members works at Chatham as a school counselor, and they just went co-ed, and there's a lot of problems there. And I think my aunt would really be involved with handling a traditional all-girls school embracing because of finances. It going co-ed and trying to deal faithfully with all the problems that Chatham is going through now. How do you handle what the students are going through, what the administration is going to, that they had to do this financially to stay afloat, but helping the students be able to get a better education to complete their goals in the midst of all this turmoil that's going on now with the school. Yeah, I think she would be focused on how to help the students and to keep the school, you know, going together.
Were there any events in the sweep of the whole civil rights movement, I guess going back to Martin Luther King, that influenced her thinking or was a form of inspiration to her?
The only thing I can remember is how saddened we were when President Kennedy was assassinated. The whole house was just, it was like, oh my goodness. And then Dr. Martin Luther King, and then Robert Kennedy. And it was like, boom, boom, boom. It's like, what's the world coming to? And then when civil rights and, you know, the guards came into Homewood and seeing that, and, you know, what are we going to do here? But, and fortunately, when I moved to Alderdice from Westinghouse, it was right when that started. And I think that helped prepare me for my life now, so that I could have gone either way. I could have hated all whites or just embrace.
Sure.
This is life. And she was able to stay strong because faith, you know, we're all brothers and sisters under Christ, you know, to stay in that. Well,
how did she analyze that? How did she feel about the city and what it needed to do?
Well, I know that one of the reasons when we moved was so that we could get into Alderdice, because she knew then that Westinghouse was not as well received as a good school for students. So she wanted us to get a better education. And she tried to make sure that the students in these other schools were at least trying to get as best that they could from the environment that they're in. But the problem is, like you're saying, if the area that you live in is economically not good, you can't change that part, and you just can only try to instill in the teachers to do their best. But it was certainly a better cry than what the county she lived in when she got to Pittsburgh, that she still was able to be in a more progressive city and make a change in the city. And certainly they embraced her because she kept moving up. So, you know, people were saying, okay, let's pay attention to what she has to say. And, you know, she moved up that way. Yeah.
What was it like for you in your early teens to move from Westinghouse to Alderdice?
Well, the first thing I remember was, to me, it was a huge school. And I didn't have a problem with, I was in the scholars program at that time, and I didn't have a problem going in from a predominantly black school to a predominantly white school. The problem I had was with my family, because my friends were whoever I was, my classmates, and my classmates were all white. So I would come home and I'd say, oh, you know, Mary said this or this, and my family, because it was now civil rights in the, you know, mid-60s, is she white or black? They wanted to know. And if that person was white, then I wasn't supposed to associate with them. So I had a battle at home. I was called Uncle Tom at home. But I knew then I couldn't go that way. I was being prepared, as Hallie was, for a future. So that when I entered in, I'm a legal secretary, entered into law firms where I'm the only African-American secretary, I needed to be able to handle that without making everybody else the enemy. Yeah.
Did your family ever kind of get with the program and come to your way of thinking?
No.
They didn't?
No. No.
And that's sad.
It is sad. It is sad. Yeah.
Thinking of Thanksgiving,
you know,
family.
Yes, yes, yes. Different in that she was a leader and she did not stay closed off like her sister. But her brother, my dad, died young. But, you know, my dad moved all the way to Florida, where the rest of them were here in Pittsburgh. You know, he was away from that. But her sister stayed closed. Well, thank you so much.